Transmission, Episode 8, November 9th, 2005.
Aloha from the island. You have tuned into The Transmission. This is a fan podcast devoted to ABC's great hit TV series Lost. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
And we are sending this Lost cast direct to you from Honolulu, Hawaii. Mahalo nui loa. Thank you for listening.
It's good to be back with a new episode, isn't it? Yes, mahalo. Thanks for letting us into your ears once again. And hey, if you can't get enough Lost in your ears, or you know, if you just can't fathom what the two of us, you know, a couple of suburban folks with three kids and absolutely no radio experience, if you're wondering what we're doing in front of a microphone, stay tuned. At the end of our feedback segment, I wanted to take a little time to tell you about some other Lost audio that you might want to try.
If you are new to The Transmission, here's the plan. We break up our show into bite-sized pieces. First, we do a quick episode recap for those who missed the show or, for heaven forbid, don't get the show where they live. We take some time to discuss the episode in greater detail, from like little clues to new questions that have come up. After that, we turn to you all, everybody, where we touch on some of the great feedback we get from our fellow Losties around the world. Finally, we duck into the forward cabin where we cover upcoming episodes, production news, rumors, and spoilers.
And as always, we will warn you before we get to those spoilers. You know, we're just a couple of fans just like you, and you know, what you think about Lost is often infinitely more interesting than anything we could come up with on our own. So don't let us do all the talking. We love your comments and theories and questions. The Transmission is best when you're a part of it. So, you know, make your voices heard. You can leave a message on the Lost line at 808-356-0127, or you can send an email or audio file to us at lost@hawaiiup.com. That's lost@hawaiiup.com. And we also love folks who leave comments on our website at hawaiiup.com/lost.
With that out of the way, let's get lost. This is show number 8 of The Transmission for the episode of Lost that aired Wednesday, November 9th, 2005. It was titled Abandoned.
And after 3 weeks of waiting, what do we get this week?
We got a lot. We got a Shannon backstory. We got some movement through the jungle. And we got the fuselage gang and the tailies meeting for the first time.
Yeah, we still have the three-part story, but they've sort of come together quite explosively. But let's start with the flashback, I think. That's pretty straightforward. It was a Shannon flashback. What do we see there?
Well, we see Shannon. She's a ballet teacher, mm-hmm. and she's in the middle of the class when she gets a phone call. Her father has been in an accident, and she rushes to the hospital. She meets her stepmother there, Boone's mother, and she finds out that her father has died.
Right. And so the doctor asks her stepmother if... she asks the doctor if she can see her husband, and when the doctor says, "Oh, does your daughter want to come?" she goes very coldly, "That's my stepdaughter." We sort of follow that. It's the wake for her father, and who should walk up?
But Boone.
Right, and he has the best opening line.
Yeah.
In this. Death sucks. So they embrace, and eventually we find that... Shannon has dreams of being a dancer in New York. She's applied for a prestigious internship, and she finally gets the letter in the mail, and she gets the job. But that very same moment, she gets the phone call.
Right. Her rent check has bounced. She was anticipating, you know, getting some money from her dad, but her stepmother has screwed her. She has... she tells Shannon that basically her dad has left her nothing, and...
When Shannon asks her for money, she says... You know, you're just going to hate yourself if you don't do it on your own. So, you know, basically, you're on your own. So that was kind of cold. She actually tries to get Boone to help her get some money. But
Boone's mom is onto them. And so she refuses. And She conveniently happens to offer Boone a job so that he has to leave New York.
Right, so he won't be there while she's there. And she has a very emotional scene with Boone. Basically, she gets upset, and this is a running theme in her life, that Boone doesn't think, Boone says, here, take the money I have, and she gets upset because she doesn't want the money. She wants Boone, she wants people to believe that she can make it. She wants people to believe in her.
Right.
So that was our flashback. Overall, pretty straightforward. What did we see happening with our friends in the tail section and the rafties, I guess, who are with them?
Well, they're still walking through the jungle. They're still trying to get back to the beach where, the Jack group are.
The Fusies, I think Fusies, they're called. The fuselage, right. Folks.
Sawyer is in very, very bad shape. He is on the verge of death, basically. He's on the brink of death. At one point, they decide to put him in a stretcher. And, they're almost there, and they're in a stretcher, and they realize that another one of their party has been has gone missing.
Cindy, the flight attendant, I think. She just goes... She
was a flight attendant.
I think that's who Cindy was.
Okay.
And as they're progressing through the... Well, first, they're sort of trying to follow the shoreline. But I think Mr. Echo sees that, Sawyer is in poor shape. So he talks Anna into cutting through the forest, despite the fact that Anna is very skittish about the forest. And during one confrontation, Michael asks her, why are you so agitated? Why are you so worked up?
And she starts to kind of explain. She says, the first night we were there, they took two of us.
And a couple of weeks later, they took another 9. And, she has a very, she has a look on her face, basically, that belies just how rough their time on the island was. And so anyway, they're carrying Sawyer on the stretcher. Ana Lucia is very resentful because, she feels that everyone's putting their life in danger to save poor Sawyer, who's not well at all.
Right. And she figures he's already dead anyway.
And when Cindy goes missing, everybody freaks out. And then, an interesting detail, they all hear whispers. And now I think up until this point, only one person at a time would hear these voices. But in this specific scene, everyone
in
the
party.
Yeah,
it was everybody.
They're like, what is that noise? What is that noise? And that kind of cuts us over. And, let's rewind a bit and see what's been going on with the Fusies, the fuselage folks.
Well, Saeed takes Shannon to a makeshift love shack.
That's right. He builds a little beachfront cabana for the two of them, and it's probably just a couple of minutes when they walk in the door of this little apartment he's built that they get busy.
Well, first she asks him, does this mean we're serious? And he's joking around still, and he's saying, yeah, I do this for every girl I meet on deserted islands.
Right, right. But yeah, they do their thing, and the inevitable finally happens on Lost with all of these very lonely people.
Lonely attractive people.
Yes, very pretty people. So we have the cutaway and we come back and they're basking in the afterglow when, Saeed wanders off to get some water. And what happens to poor Shannon?
Oh, Walt makes another appearance and he's talking backwards again. So she screams everybody comes running, including Saeed. And Saeed clearly does not believe Shannon's story.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, she has managed to roust Claire, who wakes up the baby.
Right. Actually, there's various sub-stories going on with the Fusies. One of them is Claire and Charlie seem to have immediately fallen into a sitcom couple environment where they're playing mom and dad to the baby, and Charlie is very kind of condescending, I think, to...
He is so snotty. He's really, really snotty. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah, he says, what are you doing? Why are you waking up the baby? And basically trying to out-parent Claire. But anyway, yeah, nobody believes Shannon, and she's upset about that. There's a brief scene with Hurley and Rose,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing laundry, and, Hurley is always the smart guy. He says what everyone's thinking, which is, why are we hanging laundry out here on the trees when there's a washer and dryer in the hatch?
Yeah, and Rose says she doesn't like the hatch.
Which is an interesting statement,
I think. It is an interesting statement. But anyway, so Shannon asks Hurley where they have left Walt's things that they didn't take with them on the raft, you know, Walt's leftover clothes and stuff. She goes and she's got Vincent with her. She makes Vincent smell one of Walt's shirts and is attempting to get Vincent to take her to Walt because she believes that he's on this island. But she ends up stumbling upon Boone's grave.
Right, and that's where Saeed finds her. And again, they have another conversation about whether or not he believes her. And, you know, everybody, including Saeed, is saying, you know, you're just very stressed out because you've lost Boone. And, you know, Shannon's like, no, I saw Walt. And he goes, well, then why are we here at Boone's grave? So she's having a hard time convincing people. On the Charlie plot, by the way, we do see Locke come up and give Claire some parenting advice, teaches Claire how to swaddle, and boy, that brings back memories.
Yeah, sure does.
But, you know, so Claire says, oh, it seems like everybody knows how to parent better than I, and she says outright to Locke, you know, it seems like Charlie and I are like a married, or like a mom and dad, but we're not married. You know, what the heck is going on here? I don't know anything about him, but, you know, he might even be a religious freak.
Oh, yeah. Locke says, I doubt that seriously.
And she says, oh, well, he's got these, he's carrying around this Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Locke gets that aha look in his eyes. And he goes to play a backgammon game with Charlie. And they have a little head-to-head there. You
right.
know,
Charlie is all uppity and all being all snotty about Claire's apparent lack of responsibility and she's so flighty, blah, blah, blah. And Locke says, well, that's...
That's an interesting thing to say for a heroin addict. So, yep, there's going to be more conflict there. But anyway, Shannon and Saeed are deep into the forest looking for Walt. It starts to rain. Everybody's wet. This is also a common theme in this show. And when Shannon falls down, she has a breakdown and says, why don't you believe me? Nobody believes me. Nobody believes in me, you know, tying into her flashback. And basically says, you know, this always happens to me. And when we get off this island, she says, you're going to leave me.
Yeah.
And Saeed says that I'm never going to leave
you. I love
you. And I love you. Ah, the words, the words. But of course, it was a very short-lived moment of bliss because they also begin to hear the whispers.
And there's Walt.
Right.
But this time, Saeed sees Walt.
Right. So Saeed spots him, then Shannon, and she goes, do you see him? And, you know, Saeed is just completely flabbergasted. And he's in so much shock that when Shannon gets up and decides to run after Walt, you know, Saeed is just stuck there. He's frozen for several seconds before he runs off to try to catch her. And as she disappears into the forest,
you hear a gunshot.
Right. A gunshot goes off. And she comes staggering back out of the forest with a gunshot wound,
with a massive gunshot wound.
Yep. And Saeed is just, again, still completely in shock. But when he looks up, who do we see?
Ana Lucia and the gang.
That's right. Ana Lucia holding the gun. Michael's there, Jin is there, and they all saw what happened, and the looks on their faces are just, you know, just incredible, and that's what I would say would be a big, big development for the future of the characters on this show.
Right. So, that is the story in a nutshell. When we come back, we will take a deeper look at tonight's episode, Abandoned.
All right, so Abandoned. What did you think? How'd you like that episode? Was it worth the wait?
It was absolutely worth the wait. It was great in so many ways. You know, we got to see more of what's going on in the fuselage gang, you know, kind of the way that they're developing and move the plot forward. And we got a really good peek into Shannon's life.
Right. And of course, that is a very a short-lived benefit because now Shannon's no longer a character. I would have to say that a lot of the people were predicting her to be the one we'd lose. And part of me is disappointed that it was once again, I think, one of the more obvious disposable characters that we lost. But it was nice to see her more more as a complete person with a history for why the way she is. And in that respect, I'm glad that she was humanized before she was, well, dehumanized.
Right.
And I agree that it was a good episode because, with all the character development episodes are the ones I like, but I know that bores the heck out of the sci-fi freaks. And so now we've got the episode with plot movement. We've got finally the encounter, the first connection of the two parts, the Fusees and the Tailies have now met. So that's where we're going from this point forward. And, the voices return, Walt returns, more supernatural elements. So a lot of stuff to dissect. What were some of the things that you picked out of the episode?
Well, the one big thing, and it's actually not really a big thing, it's kind of a little thing, is, Sawyer's penchant for nicknames. He calls
Jin Chewy.
Right.
And he does it again. He goes, Chewy says whatever Jin says, excuse me, whatever he's saying, and Sawyer goes, yeah, Chewie, I know my arm is gonna fall off. And I just think that's great because I can almost see, Jin making Chewbacca noises. But anyway, so what did you pick up?
Well, he refers to Ana Lucia, she's being really, really bossy, and he calls her DeSoto. His nickname for her is DeSoto, and her last name is Cortez.
Ah, explorers.
Right, right.
And, because he was saying that she was lost, she without Echo at the time, she didn't know where to go, so he called her DeSoto. That's pretty cool, but I'm not sure if we've ever been told her name is Cortez.
No, I think I might have actually read it either on her IMDb, Michelle Rodriguez's IMDb entry, or
it might have been an NBC press release or whatever, Michelle Rodriguez as Ana Lucia. I hope this isn't a spoiler, but I think her name is Cortez, so that makes that nickname particularly cool. We saw Jack very briefly.
Very briefly, for like a half a second while Shannon and her stepmother are at the hospital.
But, it continues that longstanding tradition of having these brief appearances in other people's flashbacks. But this one was very significant, of course, because we did pick up early in the season that that was Shannon's dad that Jack chose not to save when he decided to save his future wife. And I guess that's one thing we're not going to see, or I don't know how the connection would ever happen now that we've lost Shannon, if Jack will ever make that connection.
I think we learned a lot from just what the Tailies said in passing. Like at one point, Libby blurts out, did you see the kids?
Right, the kids, plural. And I thought it was interesting that Michael didn't respond to that statement, but clearly there were other children on the island with that party, and I think we're going to learn more about that. Also, I thought it was interesting when Ana Lucia and Echo are kind of butting heads about which way to go. Ana Lucia says,
oh yeah, she says, I liked you better when you didn't talk.
Which is interesting. I mean, he's not, I guess, he's not the most talkative character.
No, but I mean, you can tell he's obviously a man of very few words.
But
to
it
begin
sounds
with.
Like maybe there was a point where he was totally nonverbal, which would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that would come out to. Teddy bear. There was a teddy bear. Did you catch it?
No, I didn't.
In the wake scene, and Boone and Shannon are having their heart-to-heart, there's a teddy bear there.
In her room.
Yeah, I don't think it's the same teddy bear, but it's just, again, you're watching for all this sort of stuff. There's stuffed animals again. There's, of course, also a backgammon game, another board game.
Yeah,
and we've got a comment coming up from a listener, so that was really good timing, I thought.
Oh, there's an interesting bit of banter between Libby and Sawyer. She asks him how he got shot, and he says, with a gun.
and she reveals that she was a shrink.
Yes, she did.
She says something like, maybe you can talk to my arm or something like that. When Walt made an appearance, there was more backwards talking.
Mm-hmm.
And just checked quickly on the forums, and I guess immediately after the episode aired, someone had posted what that message was backwards. I'm not sure if this is a spoiler. I mean, we all saw it, but we might not all have the technology to reverse it. But here's what the message said.
Wow, that's interesting. Who's they?
I mean, that was my question, too. Is it the others are coming, or is it the Tailies are coming? Was Walt warning Shannon about the impending arrival of the others, or the fact that she was about to, run into a bunch of Tailies, one of whom had a gun? So that's interesting. And now I don't know what's going on, because since Saeed saw Walt, it's not all in her head either. So
and other people, the whole group heard the whispers too.
Right, again. At first I thought some of this is internal, some of this is all mental illness related or something, but But if something's manifest on the island that other people can see, then I have no idea what's going on. What did you think about how our characters have developed or grown?
Well, the only thing I really have to say about that for this episode is, what is Charlie's deal? He is just, I don't know. I mean, he's got the nerve to complain about Claire.
And her parenting ability.
And her parenting ability.
Yeah, he actually brings up that she was going to put up the baby for adoption as a criticism against her qualifications as a parent.
And I'm just wondering, you know, how Charlie's personality, is it going to change? Is he going to become more productive? Is it going to drag the others down as they have to face the monster and various other things? You know, I really am curious to see what is going to become of Charlie.
I think that there's going to be more darker side to him because of this conflict and because, again, of the Virgin Mary statue and what that represents. As far as, you know, what's his deal, that one can be explained because of his issues. I've constantly talked about Michael annoying the heck out of me, and I think he's still annoying, at least the way that he's been written to be pretty one-dimensional for most of this season. But just as, you know, poor Sawyer falls unconscious and near death, it's like they almost have a touching moment where maybe they've finally gotten over their differences. I mean, Michael specifically explains to, I guess, Libby that the reason why Sawyer got shot was because, you know, he was trying to protect his son. So that's an acknowledgement there. And it is Michael that says, look, we're not going to leave him behind. Let's make this.
Michael is actually the one who starts ordering people around. You know, Bernard, get me some sticks. Echo, help me build the stretcher. He's the one who actually organizes the effort to save Sawyer.
So maybe there'll be some redemption for Mr. Michael Walt on the island. So, yeah, a very good episode, I think, and it surely sets the stage for a fantastic next episode because it has to pick up where we've left off, which is Shannon dead in Saeed's arms and Ana Lucia with the gun. Talk about making a poor first impression there.
Yeah, the looks on the faces of the characters are priceless, really priceless.
Absolutely. So we're looking forward to that. But as for this week's episode, I think we've covered it all. So now it's time to move the transmission and turn it over to you all, everybody, our feedback segment.
Let's start with this call from Sandy.
Hi, this is Sandy from Ojai. I am a big fan of The Lost Show. I just discovered your website earlier this week, and I'm quite impressed and really like your transmission, so keep up the good work. Listening to some of the comments made this week by the forward section and the spoiler part, I kind of think I might have my own analogy on spoiler, but here goes. If you go back to the orientation tape, you notice Dr. Marvin talking, and he never moves his left arm, which makes you think that it's a fake. And a couple of episodes ago, Danielle told someone, I can't remember who, but that one of her team members had lost their arm. So I'm thinking that that person in her team was, in fact, Dr. Marvin Candle, and that he did not die but managed to escape and possibly was responsible for the kidnapping of her child, Alex, and Walt. And that leads to another scenario of that I think Danielle was part of a scientific team, just like what Dr. Candle would be involved in and associated with the Dharma Initiative. And that, yes, in fact, that why she hides below like that is kind of a hatch scenario with the guns, which would match with the guns in the Station 3. And so there's a lot more there that they have not told us, but the clues are out there. So anything that anybody has to say about this, I really want to hear it. I'd like to be one of the first to be right. So thanks for you, Ryan, and your lovely wife, and keep up the good work. Aloha.
Hey there, Sandy. Good thinking. Good catch. Although I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be able to say you were the first. I believe the night that episode aired with the orientation video, Kristen of E! Online directly emailed Daniel Lindelof, one of the creators, and he specifically called attention to Marvin Candle's unmovable arm. So a few folks did suppose that he could have been the person that Danielle was talking about, who she called Montand, I guess, a member of her scientific party, and maybe they were the same person. I guess it would all come down to the timelines we have, how reliable they are, you know, how long Danielle has been on the island, maybe 16 years, how long ago the video was made, supposedly dated in 1980, and things like that. And your message actually reminded me, though, of something that's been percolating and I've seen around on the web as well, that, you know, there's definitely a running theme of sorts in Lost about amputations and body
right.
parts.
The widow in Australia that Hurley visits, she had a prosthetic leg.
And the farmer that Kate stayed with in Australia, he had a prosthetic arm. Who else was there?
Hibbs, Sawyer's colleague.
Oh, right. The guy that Sawyer knew, he was he didn't have a finger. He was missing a finger. And tonight's episode reminded me as well, because we saw Boone again, that in fact, just before Boone's death, he was about to become an amputee himself.
Right. Jack was about to amputate his leg.
Which makes me wonder now. He thought that was a heroic effort that might save his life. But he was talked out of it and Boone died. So that's interesting. What would have happened had he joined the ranks of the amputees? But anyway, thanks for that call, Sandy.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I just had a quick comment and thought. I'm trying to figure out whatever came of Locke losing the feeling in his legs again last season. They basically touched on a one episode where they were trying to blow the hatch apart, him and what's-his-beak to die, but... and he got that shard of metal in it and didn't feel it and then started collapsing and all this happened before the plane collapsed on what's-his-beak. I can't remember his name. But anyway, any thoughts on that? Do you think the producers were just thinking, well, maybe we could go with this and then, maybe not. Locke's better fully walking upright or was that a hint of something else? Anyway, your thoughts would be cool to hear on that. Thanks, bye.
Hey, thanks for that. And, you know, yeah, I'm not sure yet what the deal is with Locke's injury, his paralysis. I don't definitely think it's not something that the writers have left aside and forgotten about. It is a central story in Lost. And in fact, it's a really big one as far as, you know, is this something that can be explained rationally or realistically in the real world? And I know that the creators of the show have said that they're going to try to make sure everything has a plausible explanation, something that could actually happen in this world. So I really don't know what happened there. It's one of the biggest mysteries of the island. You know, it defies that explanation that would be reasonable. So definitely as far as what's going on and what's happening, we have to wait to see.
Also, Craig from Nashville had a similar comment. He theorized that perhaps Locke was paralyzed by a bullet in his spine and the magnetic forces on the island moved the fragment in such a way that it gave him back the use of his legs. After he strayed away too far from the magnetic force, he started to lose his ability to walk.
That's right,
again.
When he was with Boone and they were out trying to find the airplane that Locke saw, Locke started getting weak and wobbly and he fell down on the ground. So that maybe that's what it was. You know, I know that when we saw Locke's flashback, one of the first things I thought, because he went hunting with his dad. I said,
oh, yeah. You think maybe he got shot.
Right. But he didn't, actually. And so we still don't know, you know, how he got paralyzed. There is actually a lot of detail that we're going to have to try to sort out about what's going on with Locke's body. As you recall, in the first season, the first time that Locke and Boone tried to get into the hatch, they built this contraption that eventually exploded, and a piece of shrapnel ended up in Locke's leg, and only Boone noticed. You know, Locke didn't feel the injury, and we see him later at a campfire, and he actually gets this burning piece of wood and sticks it into his foot, and he freaks out because he doesn't feel it. So, you know, he was definitely having this fear of being paralyzed again. I think he even says something like, don't take it back, or what's going on, and stuff like that.
Yeah, and later in that same episode, Boone points out that Locke is limping on his left leg, but we see the shrapnel hit him in the right leg. So the question is, which injury is which?
Yeah, you know, what could explain the paralysis slash, you know, lack of feeling in one leg, et cetera, et cetera. So there's definitely a lot to untangle. Even more weird, too, in that same episode, of course, was after the plane fell down with Boone in it, after Locke wasn't able to climb because he had he'd lost his use of his legs all of a sudden, is that he got the use of his legs back right then and there.
Right.
And he was able to climb into the airplane, drag Boone out, and carry Boone back to camp. So, again, I have no idea what's going on there.
Here are a couple of other calls that touched on Locke.
My name is Paul from Columbus, Ohio, and I really enjoy your podcast. On the last episode, there was a lot of discussion about children on the island, and it made me think of an original Star Trek episode where there was a planet whose only inhabitants were children, and this was due to genetic engineering that went bad. This would be related to some of the other theories that have been presented in earlier episodes. This might also explain why Locke can now walk, and I think he is the key to the hatch. I think there's more there than we can tell now, but I think he'll reveal a lot about perhaps even being there before. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Hey, Paul. Cool observation on Star Trek there. I don't suppose it's going to help my credibility any if I say that I'm a recovering Trekker, and I actually remember that episode now, and your mention of it reminded me of an earlier listener comment talking about Forbidden Planet, which also had very similar commonalities. The Star Trek episode was finding a planet where something terrible had happened. The survivors had psychic powers, et cetera, et cetera. In that case, in Star Trek, it was kids. So there's a lot of themes. I guess they're very common in science fiction, and it's just really great to see those elements in Lost.
Hello, my name is Connie. I'm calling from Soldotna, Alaska, where it is currently 18 degrees, and I love to listen to the transmission while I'm out walking my dog. It just makes the time go a lot faster and not seem quite as cold. I love your podcast. It's an answer to prayer because I am the kind of person who has to know what's going to happen, and I don't cut off at the spoilers. I mean, give me more, and today I was listening, and one of your callers mentioned that perhaps Locke, when he took off his shoes in the bunker, maybe it's because he knew what was going on, and the whole Peter Pan thing just got me to thinking that maybe the island is actually the Neverland Island in some kind of weird, twisted way, and it has an effect on the children, which would explain why the others and the children connection is kind of hinky. And just, you know, from the Black Rock ship and just the monsters and things being there that don't normally appear on an island like the polar bear are all things that are maybe some kind of a nightmarish child's imagination come true on this island. And I just thought that was very intriguing. And also the idea of Locke being the ultimate lost boy because of his relationship with his father and not being able to connect with him and being taken advantage of him and just being set adrift, that just, the whole thing has just got my brain swimming. I look forward to the next podcast and the next edition of Lost, and goodbye from Soldotna, Alaska.
And hey, Connie, thanks for your call. It's been kind of fun to explore Peter Pan and the way it might relate to the Lost mythology. It's been a while since I've read the book or seen the film, so maybe a literature or movie buff can help me brush up on my Peter Pan story. I don't really remember how the father's relationship with the kids was in the story.
Yeah, actually, I don't remember the dad, at least not from the cartoon. I'm not sure how big of a factor it was, but if there are daddy issues there, it might be something worth exploring.
And hey, stay warm. We'll try and send some Hawaiian sun out your way.
Yeah, 18 degrees. I can't even imagine. I've never even seen snow.
Hello to everyone at the transmission. Thank you very much for this podcast. It's fantastic. Really enjoying it. Just thought I'd get in touch with something interesting I found when I was looking on www.driveshaftband.com. It's one of those fantastic ABC websites that they've thrown out there onto the web. This one's dedicated to Driveshaft, the band of which Charlie was the bass player. Now, on this website, there's a discography section where we have the Driveshaft album, followed by the difficult second album, Oil Change, which is then followed by Pente, which is a solo album written by Charlie. Now, Pente, I'm not sure how it's pronounced Pent or Pente, but if you look that up on Google, you'll find it's actually a board game, and board games have great significance in the first and second series of Lost. For a start, we have Locke playing backgammon. He also describes how to play Mousetrap, another board game, to a child in one of his flashback sequences. Then he also plays Risk, another board game, with a colleague of his at work in the first of his flashback sequences. So we've got a few board games thrown in there, but what's more interesting, when you look at Pente as a game, it involves black and white stones. Now, black and white is another big theme that's been featured in Lost, the first and second series. Firstly, obviously, Charlie wears black and white shoes. That could be a style point. I have absolutely no idea. However, there are other elements of black and white which actually are quite interesting. Firstly, when Locke plays backgammon on the beach with Walt, he mentions one white and one black. Then, when they find the Adam and Eve characters in the caves, they are two bodies which have black and white stones on their person. There's also an unconfirmed rumour that when Claire has a dream sequence, she sees Locke with one black eye and one white eye. So we've got black and white running throughout the entire first and second series. But what's interesting is, when you look at the second series, right at the beginning, as Desmond is clearing away plates from a table in his bunker, there is also a board game which looks very much like the board on which you would play Pente, and it has stones on it as well. You can't quite see if they're black or white, but they're definitely part of some sort of game. So like most things in Lost, I have no idea what this means, but there are definitely links there. So if anyone else has any comment, I'd be interested to hear them. So looking forward to hearing that. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Have you been to the Drive Shaft site?
I'm actually glad that somebody brought up the Drive Shaft site, because I get a huge kick out of it. If you look at the credits of like the producers and some of the thank yous, they're all secondary characters from Seinfeld.
Ah, so they have a sense of humor. It's not all, you know, just mythology to this Lost show.
No, and I mean, it's like another inside thing that fans of a certain show would notice. You know, not everybody knows who Sewell and Mishki is. But I really love that site. Ian from Bristol, England, actually emailed us to say that he's noticed that there hasn't been so much black and white symbolism this season.
That's right. That was a good observation, although now we have the return. We have backgammon this week.
Right.
But hopefully that'll be an ongoing theme that we'll see come back.
Hi, this is John in Orem, Utah, and I just wanted to contact you guys and let you know that I don't listen to your podcast until probably Friday or during the weekend, so you don't have to kill yourselves to get it done in as soon as humanly possible. Really love the podcast, and it helps me notice a lot of things that I normally wouldn't, that I missed in the show. So, thanks a lot. Talk to you later. Bye.
Boy, John, thanks a lot. And, you know, you're too kind. I mean, I do appreciate everybody who responded after I asked last week about when you listen to the transmission, when you want the show to come out. And, you know, some of you were saying that, you know, the weekend would work okay, would give us some time to think about it, to maybe get in our own observations and stuff like that. But, and I expected this, most of you want Lost stuff as soon as possible. Frankly, I'd want the same thing myself. So we're definitely going to continue to try to get these shows out overnight, so it'll be waiting for you on Thursday morning. I just beg your, you know, patience if it doesn't happen all the time, but we'll keep trying, I promise.
Hey, Ryan and Jen, this is Brendan in Charleston, West Virginia. I think it's amazing the different people you guys reach. I think you should be very proud. Like listening to all these clips from Norway and Australia and all over the U.S. and all the different age ranges. I mean, people don't say what age they are, but it sounds like you get everything from teenagers to 50-somethings. And it's just, I think it's unique, all this feedback and interaction between the listeners. So yeah, keep it up. Goodbye.
Thanks, Brendan, and you're right. It is really a treat to hear all of these different kinds of people calling in, especially considering that there are Lost fans where the show hasn't even aired yet or where they're a season behind. And it's really great that all these different kinds of people have found something in common in this show.
Yeah, and on that note, I had also gotten an email from Cornell in California, and he suggested a website called Frapper, which I guess is short for Friend Mapper, but it's FRAPPR.com. And, you know, it's this neat little site that uses Google Maps and just a little code, and it lets you set up a world map for anything you like, including, you know, a little podcast about Lost. So I'd invite everyone now to go over there and stick a pin in our map to show everyone else where you're listening from, and you can leave a little note, even post a picture of your beautiful face or your handsome face. You can find the link on our website, but you can also go straight there. You just point your web browser to frappr.com/lostcast.
Also via email, Allison followed up after our last show. She wanted to clarify that the third Tom in Lost, you know, there was Claire's ex-boyfriend and Kate's friend. The third one was a friend of Charlie's. It was that Tom, or Tommy, that talked Charlie into conning Lucy.
That's right. Okay. I also want to send a special note of thanks to Justin from Ohio. You know, he liked our podcast so much that he designed a new graphic for us, a new kind of logo for our website. And he also had another suggestion that we're going to be picking up, and you might have noticed. We're going to start spelling out the domain name for our website, because he correctly observed that Hawaii Up is not easy to translate. It's not a word that you're going to find in any dictionary. So, you know, I wouldn't know how to spell that from the way it sounds either. So I apologize to anybody who couldn't find us. So I'll take the time from now on to say to spell out HAWAIUP.com. That's Hawaii, the name of our state. I pronounce it Hawaii, and UP, which is just up. And don't ask me what it means, but that's our domain name. And also, thanks to Martin in California, he sent us our first video comment. That was great. He asked, you know, how he can support the show. And all I can say is just keep listening and keep calling and, you know, sending us email and stuff like that. It's really the primary reward is hearing back from all of you. Though definitely, if you are in town, you did mention you might buy us a spam musubi. We might take you up on that.
Oh, that's okay. I'll pass.
Okay.
Finally, we got a great email from a listener who just happens to have a connection inside Film Roman, the company that handles animation on The Simpsons. Now, you have to be a fan of The Simpsons to really appreciate this, but we just had to share it.
That was great. You know, I guess the team there, the animators, are just full of Lost fans. So according to this email, in the animation studio, just on the walls and stuff, they're doing these Lost drawings, I guess just for fun. You know, she says, I don't think that there's actually going to be a Lost parody on The Simpsons show, but they're just having a lot of fun. And, you know, the descriptions of these characters are just hilarious.
Yeah, we have Homer as Locke, Marge as Danielle, Chief Wiggum playing Michael, and Ralph as Walt, Principal Skinner as Jack, Snake is Sawyer, and the funny one, I would love to see this, Groundskeeper Willie as Desmond.
That's right. And the comic book guy as Hurley, which is also a great match. There's one scene that she specifically described for us. It has Bart as Boone, Lisa as Shannon, and Apu as Saeed. And, you know, Lisa is sunbathing in a bikini on the beach, and Bart is telling Apu to stay away from my sister, man.
That is so hilarious. That is great. I would pay good money to see those drawings.
Absolutely. So try to sneak some of those out. I just love to see those drawings. Finally, I did mention early on, I wanted to talk about, there's now an official sanctioned direct from the network podcast for Lost out of ABC. So, you know, if you want to hear how pros do this, you know, check it out. They definitely also have the benefit of having access to the cast and crew. So, you know, they're going to be doing regular interviews, talk about various aspects of the show. Their first episode came out this week, and they had Josh Holloway and Daniel Day Kim. They talked about the music on the show and all sorts of stuff. So, again, you know, it doesn't have to be just us. There's now an official Lost podcast, and you can check it out. Did you listen to the show?
I did. It's very, very professional. It sounds like it's very well produced. Like, there's, you know, a lot of time and effort gone into it.
And but I, you know, it's just, it doesn't duplicate, you know, the fan podcast. And it's, there are several great fan podcasts. You know, this show, the ABC podcast, kind of covers more of the background. It's sort of like reading a magazine about making Lost. But as far as episode by episode analysis and theories and stuff, that's where the fans come in. That's where you come in. That's where our show comes in. And, you know, there are other Lost fan podcasts, and I definitely should mention those and encourage you to check them out, because if you're ever, you know, dissatisfied with our little rinky-dink operation, there's some great stuff to listen to. There's the Delta Park duo, Jason and Anna. You know, they've got a great-sounding show. They're serious podcasters, and they do a weekly show like ours. There's the Jay and Jack Lost podcast. Their show is just a lot of fun. They have a lot of fun. And it just comes through somebody at the TV Squad website. They do kind of a Battlestar Galactica style podcast where you, sort of like Mystery Science Theater 3000 or something, where you watch the show while listening to their podcast, and they do running commentary, and that's really great. So Jay of the Jay and Jack podcast, he had emailed me when we were just getting started, and he came up with a great idea to kind of create a Lost fan podcasting network. So we actually did set up this blog. So, you know, it's a site where if you use the feed for your podcast aggregator, you can get the subscription there, and it'll let you collect the episodes of lots of these Lost shows, you know, in addition to ours, and now also with the official Lost podcast in one channel. So, you know, if you want to sample the entire Lost Cast buffet, you can check it out. I'll have the link on our site, but it's also, you can go straight there at lostcasts.blogspot.com. So, you know, check it out. But just be forewarned, that is a lot of Lost talk.
I hope you'll stick with us too, though. We're having a blast.
Definitely stick with the transmission as well. We love all of you. Now, I've probably mentioned a few times that we really, really love feedback. So please be sure to participate in the show. Have your voices heard. You can call the Lost Line at 808-356-0127, or you can send an email or an audio file to us at lost@hawaiiup.com. That's lost@hawaiiup.com. You can also post your comments on our website at hawaiiup.com/lost. But that's all for what's come before and what you've all had to say. Now for what lies ahead.
We are now entering the forward cabin. This is where we talk about what's going on behind the scenes and what's coming up on the horizon. Some of this stuff might be from magazines or entertainment shows or on the internet. It might not really be news, but if you're the kind of fan that wants everything to be a surprise, this is where you'll want to stop the transmission.
All right. Well, there's not really too much spoilers to report this week, at least none that are credible. There's definitely been a lot of fantastic stories going around.
Yeah,
but none that we've
seen
able,
some of those.
We did have one fun follow-up item, sort of a spoiler, but more of a cast sighting report. Now, on our last show, I talked about seeing Evangeline Lilly, or Kate. She was downtown filming an upcoming episode. Well, we actually got an email from Christina in New York, and she's from Hawaii, and her family is still here. And she got her own eyewitness report from the same shooting location that was near Iolani Palace. They also saw Evangeline Lilly, but they reported seeing her coming out with a young man in a full formal army or military uniform. So that's an interesting detail. I'm not sure what that means for her backstory. Christina's auntie also, and this isn't a spoiler, just a cast sighting, but her auntie also said that a friend had spotted Dominic Monaghan in a video game store, I guess in Kahala, and he was chatting up the clerk about some new Star Wars video game, and he was upset because when you play the Star Wars video game, you can't play as Han Solo, and that kind of annoyed him. And the clerk apparently saw and mentioned a photo of Evangeline Lilly in his wallet. He called her Evie.
Next week, November 16th, is The Other 48 Days. The promo actually says it's a special extended episode. Not sure what that means.
I think for Sweeps Week, the networks, you know, they've kind of gotten into this habit now in making oddly sized shows, you know, like an hour and 10 minutes
Oh, okay.
Or 40 minutes. And that's on purpose to mess you up as a viewer. So you have to stick around their network because you'll have missed the start of some other show. But at least in this case, that's okay. I mean, more Lost is always a good thing.
Then on November 23rd, we have collision. This looks to be like an Ana Lucia flashback. I'll imagine we'll see the scene that we saw shooting last week. Apparently, we'll also see Doctor and Marvin Candle again. The synopsis says, violence erupts when Ana Lucia and her group stumble upon the other castaways, and I can't imagine why.
I know. This next episode, next week, looks like it'll kind of be a break from the storyline because, again, it's going to cover everything that happened from the very beginning, from the crash to where we are today. So I'm imagining maybe that episode, Collision, actually is the one that picks up right at the end of the episode we just saw. Very interesting. Finally, on November 30th, we have What Kate Did. And I was just reading Osiello, is that how you say his name?
Mm-hmm.
Osiello at TV Guide. Someone asked him, what did Kate do? And he wrote, sorry, mom's the word. Oop, did I say mom? I meant mum. So that's a hint, I guess. Remember in Kate's flashback last season, she went to visit her mom in the hospital. She had cancer. She was sick. I guess Kate just went to apologize or make amends, but her mom just freaked out and started screaming for help. So we know that she probably feels responsible for Tom's death. She was already on the run when we saw Tom. So when she tells Sawyer that she killed somebody, I don't know who she's talking about. And I don't know how that can connect to why her mom would freak out at seeing her.
Maybe we have another daddy issues thing coming up.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good guess. But that's it for this edition of The Transmission. We'd like to send out special thanks to all the Lost fans out there. Yes, that's you. And to all the great Lost fan sites that are always full of Losty goodness. Please visit our website for links to some of our favorites at HawaiiUp.com/Lost. That's HawaiiUp.com/Lost.
Always remember, The Transmission needs you. If you have a comment, a question, a rant, a rave, or even just want to talk story, please call the Lost Line, 808-356-0127, or send us an email or audio file to lost@hawaiiup.com.
Always visit our site if you want the links to sites we've talked about or the show notes with the time codes for the different sections. And if you really want to skip around and you're cool enough to have an iPod or use iTunes, check out our Enhanced podcast, which can make listening to The Transmission even easier.
Mahalo. Thank you for listening, everybody. Aloha.
Aloha.
Hi, this is Avery calling from Huntington Beach, California. I wanted to let you know that I absolutely love the podcast. I'm addicted to it, passing the link on to all my friends who are also getting addicted to it. And I just wanted to make a comment about the previews for the new episode that we've all been patiently waiting for. They say kind of, not really specific, but they say one of the characters will become lost forever. And as we all know, that term is very subjective. So I'm not sure someone's actually going to be killed per se, but maybe someone is going to become insane, kind of like Danielle is, or maybe someone's going to fall down another hatch and not be able to be retrieved, or something of that sort. I'm just not convinced that someone's going to die a bloody, gory death like Boo did. All right, well, that's my opinion. I guess we'll see if I'm right or not. Thanks a lot. Can't wait to hear what you guys have to say. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Ryan from Newcastle, Delaware. And I noticed something. On the episode And Found, when you see the others walking through the forest, and a lot of the podcast fans, they left the comment that it's like the Peter Pan whole thing. Well, it probably is, because Lost is on ABC, and ABC has partnered with Apple, which is the producer of the podcast that you guys are on. And Apple is also, when they made the new iPod that's able to play video, they also made a contract with Disney, and Disney's the one who made the Peter Pan. So they could have used the whole Peter Pan thing to make the episode and put more of that into one of the episodes. So I like the show, and keep up the good work with the podcast.
Hey, Ryan and Jen, this is just a short personal quip, I guess. You don't have to feel obligated to put it on the show. Just wanted to let you know I really appreciate what you guys are doing, and I think you've got good radio voices. I hope, you know, something transpires for you, I guess, out of this whole fame thing. You're relatively famous, right? I didn't hear you on Adam Curry, but it's cool that you got on there. And the Apple thing, congratulations on that. I do like hearing the voice clips at the end of your show also. Yeah, just want to say thank you. I'm the guy who signed Frapper saying that I enjoy listening to you talk about Lost. Wouldn't I enjoy watching the show sometimes? I mean, the first two episodes were cool, but I'm one of those impatient people who wants all the answers and doesn't like this whole character development stuff. Sheesh. So it's really interesting to hear you guys talk about it. And thank you also for recording the press, well, I guess it was a seminar, press conference type thing that the cast and crew did. That was a lot of fun to listen to, and I really appreciate it. And my answer to your favorite character question is Locke. Terry Quinn is really getting a chance to act in this show, and he does an amazing job, especially the, I think it's orientation, the second episode of this season. The anguish in his voice when he was left alone in the hatch and was crying out for help. And I love his, I don't know if it's a crisis of faith or a crisis of conscience or whatever, but it's just a very interesting storyline, and I'm looking forward to getting more backstory on him and finding out about the accident or whatever led to his losing his leg, whatever's. I just wanted to respond to something else you talked about. You mentioned that Michael hadn't gotten any votes as, you know, favorite character. I feel bad for the actor because it's a difficult role. It's kind of annoying hearing him call for Walt every week, you know. I really liked him in Romeo and Juliet. Mercutio. It was cool. Also, I don't know if this has been mentioned, but did you guys know that Desmond is Jesus? The actor who plays Desmond was in the Gospel of John. And I think people complained because he was smiling all the time in the movie. So, I don't know if that's relevant, but maybe he's the savior. Maybe he is who Locke was calling out for in that episode where he was crying out for solace or whatever. You never know. I'm gonna shut up now. Goodbye.
Hey guys, this is August in Oakland, California. I thought I would call and tell you a little bit about last season and the backstory with Kate when she went to go meet her old boyfriend, and they were supposed to dig up this time capsule under the tree on the date August 15th, which is 8/15. Like, I don't know, it's kind of a little weird coincidence. It kind of happens on the show. As far as each character seems to have like a reason why they're like on the island or something, getting to that. So that's just something about Kate, who is, by the way, my favorite character. Thanks.
Hello, everybody on the Transmission Podcast. This is Scott Russell, and I'm a weekly listener from Memphis, Tennessee. As many of you have already done, I wanted to share my thoughts on my favorite character on the show. After a lot of deliberation, I decided my favorite character is Ryan. Ryan's enthusiasm is contagious, and I appreciate the extra effort the actor must put into the character so that he doesn't come off too geeky or too fawning. It's the perfect balance, really. Jen is a close runner-up as my favorite character. I really enjoy tuning in each week to hear Jen's thoughts and insights. The writers of the Transmission have done a great job of making her seem like a real-life person with the thoughts and feelings many of us share. So that's it. Just keep up the good work on the show, and I hope to see this ABC program called Lost very soon. From the sound of it, it's really worth checking out.